This morning we continue in our series, and we're talking about the pillar of joy called humor. So I don't have a specific text, I have a variety of texts. But one thing that struck me before we pray, do you think Jesus laughed? If you look at his parables, he's always coming up with something funny or crazy. The Pharisees didn't seem to like it, but I don't think Pharisees laughed much. That's part of the point. Anyway, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for each and every one that is here this morning, whether it be physically or online, Lord. We pray that you would be honored and glorified by our worship this morning, and that you would touch our needy hearts, Lord. You're the best thing about us, and we just worship you today. And Lord, as we come to this topic, this pillar of joy called humor, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts. Give us eyes that see and ears that hear everything you want to say through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, saying amen. So continuing in the series, Pillars of Joy. Again, as I mentioned last week, I think it's kind of an extension of our previous series on the seven deadly sins and the seven lively virtues. We know that the deadly sins can be joy killers in our lives. The lively virtues can help us understand our purpose and mission. But isn't it true? Doesn't joy seem elusive in this life? Just like, oh, we all want it, but there it is, there it's gone again kind of thing. Here's the good news. The joyful living is not a matter of randomly winning a raffle. We can actually lean in on this. It's really about cultivating key Christian virtues and making them a bedrock of our Christian lives. We all know something about these in one way or another. What are the pillars of joy? As we've said before, last week we talked about a humble perspective, right? Today we're talking about humor. Oh, and then there's forgiveness, gratitude, compassion, and generosity, probably others, but these are so important. They bring joy into our lives. And so we're going to look at these over the next few weeks, and then we'll sum them all up as we did with the seven deadly sins and the lively virtues. But this morning we look at the pillar of joy, which is humor. I'll just kind of come clean. I think humor is an indispensable part of the Christian life. I really do. I think it's related to humble perspective we talked about last week. So how is that? Here's your word study for the day because I'm a word nerd. Remember, humility comes from the word humus. It means to be grounded, right? Ground or earth. Humble people are grounded. Now here's the related word of humor in Latin. It means fluid or moisture. Isn't this? I found this fascinating. So every gardener knows that in order to grow beautiful things like flowers and veggies, you got to have rich soil and you got to have a lot of what? Moisture, water, fluid, right? Wow, we've had a lot of 90 degree days lately. In the last several weeks, and we know that if we don't water our flowers and veggies pretty much every day now, guess what's going to happen? They're going to wither and die. So here's part of the point. To be humorless is to be dried out and ultimately dead, according to the definition. You know what? I'll just come clean. I don't trust humorless people. I don't trust them. Are you following me? Kind of like German humor, and I'm half German. You know, German humor, it's like an oxymoron, right? A contradiction in terms. For example, here's a German joke, ready? How many Germans does it take to change a light bulb?
5,000.
No, that would be a war, but good one. One, just one. It's not funny, right? It's not funny. German humor is so dry that I think, ironically, it should be served with a glass of water. Humor is moisture, water, fluid. To be humble is to be grounded, but if you wish to remain alive and ultimately joyous, you must be willing to be filled with the life-giving waters of humor. right? I love that great lady saint of the 16th century, St. Teresa of Avila. There she is. I love short prayers. She said this, "Dear Lord, please save us from silly devotions and sour-faced saints." Amen. If you could just save me from sour-faced saints, Lord, I'd be down with that. That'd be sweet. Silly devotion, yeah, that too. The beauty of humor is that it comes in so many different varieties, just like flowers in the garden, I think. For example, everybody has their own sense of humor, right? Do you enjoy witty banter? Do you like to play gags on other people or tell jokes? Are you whimsical? Sounds like a Family Guy skit. Whimsical. Do you like to be a wise cracker like me? Or do you play the vaudevillian buffoon, which I seem to do naturally without trying? When you were growing up, were you a class clown? Now, where I'm from, we also dabbled with dark humor. This is beyond sarcasm, which has gotten me in a whole lot of trouble in the valley. This goes up to sardonic humor. Dark humor. For example, this is not to everybody's liking. So here's an example, kind of like the time years ago when the Donner Party headed to California, but they got stuck in that infamous snowstorm. You know the story? Did you know nearly half the party died, while it's said that others actually resorted to cannibalism? You know that story? I don't believe that report. You know why? Because I think they were just full of themselves. That's sardonic dark humor. I'm done. Just an example. Ow! I hate you. Oh, see, it's the gift that keeps on giving, and it's not the Jelly of the Month Club, right? All right. Anyway, humor comes in many different forms. Here's the point of humor among many. It can point out the comic. It can point out the absurd. You know what absurdity means in Latin? Means you can't hear. Absurd people don't listen, they don't hear, and they ain't very funny, I found, right? It can also point out the incongruous nature. It doesn't quite fit. Which one of these is not like the other? Remember that one? Help a brother out. Does not quite belong. Oh, this is a tough group today. This is supposed to be funny. You know, here's the thing. Humorists, which humorists usually write, and comedians usually do stand-up, they are paid professionally to cultivate the faculty of what? Humor. Right. You know, my point is that humor can and should be cultivated in your Christian life. Just like gardeners and farmers cultivate their soil every springtime, right? I often ask the Halls, can I plant yet? Can I plant yet? And they're like, no, Jim. Not yet. Right? We're ready to go. Sometimes in life, you will need to humor people. Right? You need to adapt to a situation. That's wisdom. Sometimes you need to accommodate an angry or an upset individual, right? That's called humoring them. That's not a bad thing. Remember, all this has to do with cultivating joy in our lives. After all, nothing truly beautiful comes to us without some sort of suffering. You catch the video? You see what Bono said? He said, because of his lifestyle, he was gone from his family a lot and they weren't around. And he said, my wife still loves me and I got a song out of this. Did you catch that? I just started laughing. It's humorous because it's so real, right? We've talked about him before, the earthly brother of Jesus in his letter, James 1. If you got your Bibles open, turn to James 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. Consider it pure joy. All joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face what? Trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work. Do people persevere? Are we resilient? Are we teaching our people these values? I just want it now. No, you can't have it now. This is called good parenting, by the way, right? So that you may be what? Mature, complete, coming to a perfection, lacking nothing. How you and I face difficult and negative things in this life that we will experience, you will experience it. Most people spend most of their lives trying to get around pain and suffering instead of going straight through it, right? This is part of the problem. This is why the drug industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. Isn't it ironic that maybe we're being duped? Really? Weight loss and prescription meds are two sides of the same equation. Am I being crazy? I thought this is about humor, Jim. Kinda. Here's the thing. I mean, how you react to difficult things in your life will determine how you will be as a person. What kind of person do you want to be in this life? If you're just going to loll your way through, you're not going to be very interesting, right? That's not funny. That's why here at Mosaic Church, you will never ever see us resorting to the use of guilt and shame in our preaching, teaching, or normal conversations. You know why? Those are boring and predictable tactics of Pharisaic religiosity. We detest that here at Mosaic Church. Look, we're Bible-believing, blood-bought followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, fully evangelical, gospel-centered Protestant Christians. We eschew all modern forms of fundamentalism. What do you mean, Jim? Well, as fully followers of Jesus, devoted followers, we will have fun and we will bask in the joy of the Lord. Amen? We will enjoy that. We won't and don't damn anybody to hell because God doesn't damn anybody to hell. What are you saying, Jim? What are you really saying? People damn themselves to hell every single day. Have you noticed this? When they constantly choose and choose again to reject the abundant life given through Jesus Christ, his shed blood on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, we will use our minds that God has graciously given us. I think for many Christians, they come to church and they you know, like they used to put their hats on the rack, they put their minds on the rack. Why? Aren't we supposed to ask questions? Don't ask any questions. Ask questions, please. Doesn't mean I got an answer for you, but we still have fun with it. Why? God uses our minds for his honor and glory. A Pharisaic mentality is spiritual desiccation, meaning dryness. Been thinking about that this week. Why? Because it's humorless. It's cut off from the life-giving juices, the sap of Jesus. Didn't Jesus say in John 15, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me. Abiding in Jesus means you get all of that good stuff, that moisture, that fluid. You need it, especially in the days and seasons of life when it's constant 90 plus, right? Man, we need that. That's why I said last week, so much of modern fundamentalism is just another form of religious Pharisaism. So we reject it. Why? Because it's humorless. It's dry, therefore dead. And we said this last week, when someone says fundamentalist to me, I say, no fun, all damn, and no mentality. There it is. No apologies. I guess this kind of reminds me of the time when an FBI agent showed up without warning and told a Montana rancher that he was going to search the property for illegal drugs. Now, the old rancher didn't resist. He said, okay, just don't go out into that field. Reaching into his back pocket, the FBI agent pulled out a badge and began to scream with great disrespect at the old Montanan, saying, do you see this badge? Do you see this badge? This badge says I have the full authority of the federal government and I can go wherever I darn well please. Do you understand? The rancher politely nodded, went back to his business, but it wasn't long before the old Montanan heard loud screams coming from the field and the agent running for his life and the rancher's bull not far behind. Being a rather compassionate and Christian man, the rancher ran to the fence and he hollered at the agent, quick, quick, show him your badge. Show him your badge. Schadenfreude, perhaps? Here's the thing with humor. Humor helps us not to betray another person's humanness. You following this? Even when they make bad decisions. Some of you are just, wouldn't you love to make good decisions for your children, for your grandchildren? Obviously you can't, right? But we respect, humor helps us not betray their humanness in that way. I know it's hard, I get it. Have you know, researchers, I alluded to this, have proven that humor is actually good for your overall health, and it reduces the risk of heart attacks. Kind of makes sense, right? You know, people who are always amped up, you know, it's like the pressure goes up. Take a breath, right? I was thinking about that this week. I was like, why have I never ever heard any health professional advise a patient to add humor to their life? Why don't you add some humor to your life as part of your overall health and wellness goals? They love to talk about that, the doctors. What are your health and wellness goals? I'd like to live. Okay, that's a start. That's good. Do I have to stop eating hamburgers? Probably. How about add some humor to your life? Wouldn't that be good? That'll actually help you. And why is good humor actually a healthy choice? Because humor is uniquely a direct line between two or more people. It just cuts out all the BS, doesn't it? Can I say that? Just go straight for it, right? It reminds us that of our shared humanity. We're doing this thing together, people. Our shared frailties, vulnerabilities. Humor helps us to face difficulties together, doesn't it? There's all kinds of different humor. I won't bring any more dark humor up in church. That's not very nice. Donner party. Humor unites us on common human ground. It demonstrates humility. When you can laugh at yourself, oh, then you've really got something spiritually, I think. I think you really got something. We don't like people who are too full of themselves, right? I'm sorry, I wasn't talking about the Donner Party. Humor can deflate tension, right, in a group. In this way, humor can actually be, a saving grace. I've been reading Luke, Gospel of Luke in my devotions, and I ran across Luke 6:21. I started smiling. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who weep now, for they will," Luke says, "laugh." Not Matthew says they will be comforted. Well, that's good. I want to laugh. Jesus says they will laugh. Again, humor and laughter can be so disarming and healing. For example, South African bishop, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, he, amazing Christian man, once led a mass funeral services for victims of apartheid forces outside the city of Johannesburg in South Africa. To say that the people were extremely angry would be a ridiculous understatement. So he knew that he had to use humor to diffuse the situation because it could blow up in any second. It was very volatile. And so Archbishop Tutu told a story to unite rather than to divide. And he adapted the Bible's story of the creation of humanity. You're like, that's not biblical. It's like, you're not funny. But he adapted. He said, "In the beginning, God molded us out of clay, and he put us in a kiln oven." You know, like you do with pots and bricks. But God, don't push it too hard. But God got busy with other things, and he left those in the oven longer than expected. And when God remembered, he rushed to the oven and discovered they had been burnt black. I didn't make this story up, so don't even throw it on me. Social justice wannabes. You know, they were burned black. That's how black people came about, said Archbishop Tutu. And the next group he put in the kiln, this is at a funeral, by the way, a mass funeral, because God was keen on not burning this lot. He opened the oven a bit too early and they were a bit underdone. That's how white people came about. Archbishop Tutu is a pretty funny guy. Desmond Tutu deflated an incredibly tense situation through the use of what? Humor. In fact, throughout his work on the Truth and Reconciliation Committee, which helped South Africa end apartheid, anybody remember apartheid? The old Dutch Afrikaans word for keeping people apart, right? He helped the nation not go to civil war. It was brilliant, and God used him powerfully. He spoke, frequently spoke truth to power through what? humor. You can speak truth to power in all kinds of ways, but humor is a really good way to do it. Kind of unlike the time when sitting behind a couple nuns at a University of Montana football game remember the old nuns with the headgear that partially blocked their view? Three drunken men actually had the gall to badger the elderly ladies in an effort to get them to move. In a loud voice, the first guy said, "I think I'm going to move to Wyoming, since there are only 100 nuns who live in that state." The second guy rudely chimed in, saying, "I think I'm going to move to Idaho, since there are only 50 nuns in that state." The third guy crossly concluded, said, "I think I'm going to move to Montana, since there are only 25 nuns who live in that state." That's when one of the elderly nuns turned around and looked at the three drunken idiots and said, in a rather sweet and angelic voice, she said, "Instead, why don't you all go to hell? Because I heard there aren't any nuns there." That's what I call some savage sisters. I got to get to know these ladies. They know stuff. I know. Remember last week, I love what the worship team does. The worship team sang a really beautiful song called "I Raise a Hallelujah." I like that song. You know what? There's a line in it that always strikes me whenever they sing it. It's this: "I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody." My weapon is a melody? Have you ever stopped to consider that? Can't music serve as a powerful weapon of protection in spiritual warfare? That music is a weapon. It doesn't have to be an offensive weapon, although people are offended. You don't have to worry. Your faith will offend people. You don't have to try, right? The gospel is an offense to some people. You don't have to add it through your own idiocy, you know, like the last story. But my weapon is a melody. That's so good and true. Do you know what Desmond Tutu said? I saw this week. He would add this. He said, "My weapon is humor." It's humor. Have you ever considered that? Years ago, the spiritual leader of the Tibetan people, this guy is fascinating, the Dalai Lama. You know this guy? Look at him. He's always having a good time, by the way. He was actually invited years ago to a private meeting in Northern Ireland. Now, that's a cheery place. Land of my ancestors, to meet with the victims and perpetrators of sectarian violence. You know, you could have cut the ferocity of anger and the pain of suffering with a knife. But when a Protestant militant shared that when he grew up, he was taught by other loyalists that the violence that they perpetuated against Catholics was justified because Jesus was a Protestant. Ironically, the Dalai Lama, who is a Buddhist, knew that Jesus was born a Jew and began to belly laugh so hard that the atmosphere changed instantly, right? Humor is a weapon. Humor can help us laugh at the absurdity of our prejudices and hatreds. Again, absurdity means what in Latin? You can't hear because you ain't listening. You know people like that? Oh, that would be me. That's the beauty of humor. After that, the Catholics and the Protestants at that meeting were able to communicate, I was told, more honestly with each other and with great compassion, because compassion's another pillar of joy, people. We'll get to that one. So good. It's always helpful, especially to others, when we can learn to take ourselves a lot less seriously. "Well, the Christian life is really serious. I'm out. I'm out. Because that ain't the Christian life. I'm not saying it's a joke. I'm saying you can enjoy and should." Right? All this reminds me of a time in 1996. I was a young doctoral student in Chicago. I always valued humor, but I was what you could say at that time. I was pretty serious, and if not an angry young man. Just sharing. Now, following what I assumed was to be an annual checkup, our world was rocked with the news that Deb had late stage 3 cervical dysplasia. I've never shared this before. We were both 28 years old. I had a 2-year-old. Wow, I haven't thought about this in a long time. annual checkups, surprise. In an instant, everything changed, and we did not know if she would live or die. And the prospect of being a widower with a two-year-old was overwhelming. The good news was this, is that the surgery was successful. And it's been many years since that awful time. I'm not sure why I thought about it this week. I'm not sure. I think it's because you can't get to a place of humor and joy without suffering. I think that's it. I think that's it. I'm not sure. Following that season, my systematic theology professor took me aside, and I didn't, as a dummy, I didn't know what was going on as usual. And he said, he was Dutch, you have significantly changed. I'm like, what? He said, you are not so serious anymore. That's good coming from someone who's Dutch or German, you know? And I said, Professor, it's simple. My wife nearly died, and God saved her life, so it's time for me to lighten up. That's all I got. God's word says in Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for what? The night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen? So good. Jewish author Doug Abrams has had the good fortune of meeting and writing about some of the most notable religious leaders of our time. Some of the most prominent religious leaders, notice they're always laughing. That's not spiritual. Yes, it is. It's very spiritual. And what Doug Abrams have discovered is that these men and women were not dour-faced or sour-faced saints. Remember Saint Teresa? Please, Lord, save us from these people. Right? But without fail, humor and much laughter were pillars in their lives and ministries. Abrams, this was the money quote for the week, for me at least. I never thought about it this way. Doug Abrams once said in regards to us, he said he believes that humor and laughter are a universal barometer of spiritual development. One's ability, it doesn't mean you have to be a comedian or a good joke teller. I mean, I steal my stuff all over the place. Sorry, I appropriate, Wayne. But look at the joy in these people's faces. From very different places, very different traditions, what if laughter was a universal barometer of spiritual development? You know, we've already said humor is good for your health. It opens a direct line of communication between people. It deflates tension. It reminds us of our shared humanity. If you walk away with one thing, note this. It takes humility to laugh at yourself, doesn't it? That is such a gift you can give to other people. Laugh at yourself, but be serious. They'll know if you're not being honest. That's why a humble perspective is the first pillar of joy. The second perspective, a pillar of joy, is humor. And next week we'll get to the third vital pillar of joy, which is forgiveness. Forgiveness is Christianity 101, people. In fact, I'll be quoting him again. Archbishop Tutu wrote a book called The Book of Forgiveness. Oh, I had to read that several times, by the way. It's still good. Amen? Amen. Enough. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this gorgeous day. What a good God you are. You give us so many good gifts, and we thank you, and we offer gratitude because that's another pillar of joy. Thank you, Lord, for everything. And Lord, we just pray that we would enjoy our lives, enjoy our faith, that we would have the joy of the Lord. And we know that some of that will come through just humor and just in enjoying the absurdities and pointing them out and then repenting and coming under your loving hand. And Lord, so as we go forth from this place, we pray that you would just give us great joy. And we pray this in Jesus' name, saying, amen. Amen.